The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of We Got Next here on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. I am Mike Heck. And I hope you're having a wonderful week. Spring is right around the corner. The birds are starting to sing a little louder. Down here in South Carolina, the weather is getting warmer. Golf season is upon us. I'm a pretty happy camper right now. We also have quite the show this week, and we have a lot to discuss in the world of mixed martial arts. Not particularly on this show, but all the other shows. But there's just a lot going on. What a crazy Saturday night we just had with Bellator, with the UFC, with BKFC, all having events. I mean, just a lot going on. There's no shortage of stories in the world of mixed martial arts. But on this show this week, two interviews. I will say it was going to be three, but we decided to call an audible since I had this conversation on Tuesday, and there was a lot in that chat that we need to hear from the other side of things on in multiple ways and get comment on. But you'll get to read that interview heading into UFC 272. It was a very interesting chat, to say the least. However, that's the game. That is the business. We want to make sure we get both sides of these stories. We've dealt with this a couple of times already this year. But we do have some fun chats on the show this week. But before we get to those, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening to the program this week. The MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. We have two of them. We have this, and we have the MMA Hour. Make sure you subscribe to both of those on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Megaphone, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And on the MMA Fighting feed, you get this show and all of the shows on the network. Tons of them. We got BTL. We got the pre and post fight shows. Fighter versus Writer. We got Guillermo Cruz's podcast. We got the ranking show. That is coming back next week since we are getting ready to turn the calendar to March. Of course, we get on to the next one. And from what I understand, there might be a couple more new shows coming down the pipeline. So stay tuned for that. But let's get to the interviews this week. Here is the lineup. Wrapping us up, we'll speak with Terrence McKinney. T-Rex will join us, the UFC lightweight. His story is unbelievable. We talked about it on What the Heck back when that was a thing back in the day. So you can go back into the archives of What the Heck, listen to that conversation. You can go back to his interview on our YouTube channel, hear everything that he has gone through. He now has his second octagon appearance set for this Saturday at UFC Vegas 49 against Fares Zayem. This fight was supposed to happen in November. And we found out the day of the card that one of McKinney's corners tested positive for COVID, so they just scratched the fight altogether. They pushed it back a few months, and a lot of people are excited to see him back because his first fight in the octagon ended in 7 seconds at UFC 263, stopped Matt Frivola, did the celebration, hurt himself. Luckily, everything was okay, but he finally gets back in there this Saturday, so we'll talk about the fight, the delay, his very public support of Joe Rogan, and a whole lot more. Always enjoy talking with Terrence McKinney, who was at the barbershop when we had this conversation. I know you don't get to actually watch the video, but just rocking an incredible fade, I will say that. But first, if you are a fan of the MMA Hour and you subscribe to that program on YouTube or the podcast network, then good for you because you get two Gegard Mousasi interviews this week. He will defend his Bellator middleweight title on Friday against Austin Vanderford in the main event of Bellator 275. Bellator back in Dublin, Ireland. So you know the crowd is going to be insane. They're going to be excited. What an atmosphere it shall be. And we will go ahead and preview that fight. We'll talk his future. If the plan is still to fight the winner of the light heavyweight Grand Prix, which we found out that the finale is going to happen in April between Vadim Nemkov and Corey Anderson, his thoughts on Israel Adesanya's win against Robert Whittaker at UFC 271 and more. That conversation with the champ is coming up next on We Got Next. Thank you for listening, everybody.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, the reigning, defending, undisputed Bellator middleweight champion of the world, Gegard Mousasi. He has his next title defense on the horizon, February 25th in Dublin, Ireland, Bellator 275. He's going to defend against Austin Vanderford. Always enjoy chatting with the champion of the world. Gegard, how are you, sir?
Thanks, Mike. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here once again, sir. And might I say, it's nice to see you getting back in there at the beginning of the year, because I looked this up a couple of minutes ago. The last time we saw you fight in the first quarter of the year, it was 2017 when you fought Talis Laitis in the UFC.
Yeah.
Normally we're waiting till May or the summer or the fall, but now we get a Gegard Mousasi fight pretty quick in 2022. I'm sure you're pretty happy about that.
Yeah, but especially the way it looks right now, I could fight three times this year. So hopefully no COVID, no injury. And the schedule of Bellator allows me to fight that many times, because the last 2 years I fought two times, but it was not my choice. It just pandemic happened, and we had to deal with it.
100%. I thought back to our last conversation as I was watching your fight with John Salter in August, because you hit the nail on the head. You said your strength would be a huge weapon, that most people underestimate how strong you actually are. You said you would get John Salter tired, and you said you would put him away. So you pretty much predicted this to a T.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if anything at all surprised you in the fight, because it sure didn't seem like anything surprised you at all.
Well, no, I think the first round delivered, I didn't take a lot of chances. He was holding me, but I knew I would get eventually my chances. The guys that are constantly going for takedowns, they fatigue. It costs a lot of energy to take someone down and hold him down. So especially now with the Vanderford also, I feel I have to have a little bit the same strategy. It's not a secret. He wants to take me down, hold me, and I have to get up. And if I take away that weapon of him, the takedown, or even if I don't take that away, if I get up all the time right away, I take his most of his strength away.
Yeah, I mean, after the fight, I mean, they bring Vanderford in the cage, you guys face off, and you probably knew this was coming. If you beat John Salter, you're probably going to fight Austin Vanderford, but to get 100% clarity, they bring him in, and the next opponent is set that night officially, that had to have been refreshing for somebody like yourself that's hoping to stay as active as possible, to bring him right in there and know full on that you're fighting him next. Was that refreshing to know that this is a done deal, just waiting for the date?
Well, I didn't know I was going to fight him. They brought him in the cage, and I said, oh, yeah, okay, next opponent. It's good to know long ahead who you're going to fight. So that was nice, but I'm okay. He's the number one guy. He's 11-0. So we're going to test him.
I mean, you didn't know for sure, but you had an idea that they were probably going to go in that direction, right?
Not really. Not really. You had also Tokov. You had Joe Romero. So I had no idea it would be him, you know.
That's it. I mean, how interesting would that have been if they brought Yoel in the cage? I know how you feel about maybe fighting Yoel someday. Imagine they brought him in the cage. How would you have felt about that one?
It's my job to fight. So whoever they give me at the middleweight, I fight.
Like you said, Austin's a great wrestler, good top game, brings a lot of pressure. I mean, this experience isn't quite to the level of John Salter, but yeah, there's some similarities here. How, like, what differentiates Vanderford from Salter in your opinion? What's different? I mean, I know there's a lot of similarities here, but what do you think differs Vanderford?
Well, he's less of a submission guy. He's more of a ground and pound guy. He has a better wrestling. More faster, explosive. He switches angles, you know, with his wrestling. So definitely better wrestler. Good ground game in as holding position. But I haven't seen him on his back. I haven't seen him pushed. You know, a lot of things that I haven't seen. But also because he's undefeated. So. A lot of things are not is unanswered. So we'll see how it goes.
And you get to fight in Dublin, Ireland with a crazy, energetic crowd, incredible atmosphere. I'm trying to think back. I know you fought all over the world at this point in your career, but have you fought in Dublin before or is this the first time?
No, I fought twice. Once when I was upcoming and one time I fought. Uriah Hall I fought.
That's right. Are you looking forward to getting back and listening to that crowd go crazy?
Ireland are Irish people are you know, I find them very friendly, very hospitable, very nice people, and they're also a big fighting fans. So great to fight for a crowd that's, you know, they like fighting. So we see how it goes.
You see how they are with the walkouts, right? That they know the song, they'll sing it out and they'll get all crazy. Yeah. You have a special walkout plan for next Saturday?
I was there MVP Douglas Lima. It was also the same, you know, the crowd sings, if they know the songs, is you know, it was a great atmosphere, to be honest. I'm there to do a job. I'm not there to enjoy the hospitalities or the crowd. I'm there to beat this guy and then do it in a good fashion, and we're gonna go for the finish. I think that's the best way to beat this guy, not to try to win on points, just to fight him.
I mean, you called your shot last time, and I know you don't know for sure until the fight happens and you see what's in front of you and you spend some time in that cage with Austin, but how do we get this done on the 25th, Gegard? What's playing in your head repeatedly here?
Well, I think stand-up is in trouble. You know, I think what I have to do is pressure him, and then he will shoot. I get up, or I stiff the stuff to take down. And one of those takedowns is not going to go well, and then I'm going to end up on top. And then it's my time. And I think... I can get the finish there.
Now, you had told me a couple of times in the last chats that we had that you've been told that you're going to fight the winner of the light heavyweight Grand Prix. I assume that is still in the cards for you at this point.
Yeah, I'd probably end of the year. I think so. Yeah.
Well, now
Vandervoort, but I haven't heard the rest of the schedule, but I've heard I'm going to be busy and I'm going to fight three times this year. Probably. It's not guaranteed, but I hope so.
Well, they just officially announced the Grand Prix finale. It's going to take place in April, Nemkov versus Corey Anderson. So that's a done deal. Yeah. So two months, a little less than 2 months after you fight. So that kind of opens things up a little bit for you. Who do you like in that fight? Do you like Nemkov or Anderson to win that fight?
I think Nemkov is, you have to give it to Nemkov. I think he has a little bit more advantage, but Anderson looked also good, you know. It's a good fight. It's an exciting fight. But I think the Russian has a little bit more chance of winning.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup. I really like it. So with this potential move to 205, let's say, you know, they win the title, whoever comes out of it, it's the champion, gets $1 million, whatever, and then you get the call saying, all right, you're going to fight the winner. How do you approach this? Are you going to spend some time in the weight room, try to bulk up a little bit before you put pen to paper for this fight? Or do you want to try to get another title defense in before you would do something like that? Like, how would you sort of plan that out?
Well, you know, I'm a nobody. They give me a date and we have to work on that. So I don't know. I have to wait to see what the Bellator is going to offer, you know. We'll see.
Is there a chance this is your last fight at 185?
No, I'm the champion. Why would I let my title go? I'm at my best at this division. And I believe I'm at my best ever. My friends tell me, never feel stronger. So I feel very confident going into the fight. And I could easily say I'm a top three middleweights in the world. And I can beat anybody in this division. I never said I'm the best middleweight because I never believed it. But the way I feel in this fight, the way I feel right now, I feel like I could be easily the best middleweight. But of course, you know, Vandervoort is in front of me. So let me see what I'm going to do to him first.
Right. I mean, the only reason,
like I said, I feel I'm at my best, very best.
Yeah, I think you showed that in the Salter fight too. People saw that the old man still gets some tricks. Not saying you're old, because I'm older than you, so, but you know what I mean. People are in the sport.
Yeah. I could fight another 4 years on the top, without doubt.
4 years. I like that.
I could if I want to, but I don't know. I'm not planning on that.
I mean 4 years. That's a long time away, man. We don't think that far ahead, right?
No. Just this year, three fights, and then see what the next plan is. Next year plans are.
Well, you mentioned that you feel right now, with the way you feel and the way this camp is going and the way you're approaching this fight with Vandervoort, that you're top three middleweight in the world. So I assume that you always get your finger on the pulse, Gegard. I'm sure there's a chance that you watched Adesanya versus Whitaker on Saturday. Did you watch the fight?
I didn't watch fully. I skipped a lot. I was like, the 25 minutes I watched in 1 minute. So I don't know how the fight really went. It was very even, I heard, I could hang in there definitely with those guys, 100%.
100%. So you just watched it kind of in fast forward and you're like, I get it.
Yeah, I didn't have time. So I just watched the guys that finished the fights. I didn't watch all the fights and just, you know, I was.
You're a busy man.
No, not really, but sometimes.
Yeah. We started talking briefly off air before we hit record. So I want to get your thoughts on this, because I just interviewed Roberto Soldic, who is in a very interesting spot right now, is the KSW double champ. And he's not sure. His future's kind of up in the air right now. He doesn't really know what's going to happen, and he could fight in the UFC. He might stay with KSW. Says all sorts of promotions have reached out and inquiring about his services, as they should. But he said that he's gotten a lot of guidance from you, and you've told him many times that you could be the UFC middleweight champion or welterweight champion right now. What have you made of his progression? What have you seen from him that makes him stand out so much to you?
Well, I told him, you know, I believe in him, and I know he believes in himself, especially after his last performance. He's double champ for a reason. He's an exciting fighter. He knocks everybody out. Any promotion would want him. And I understand that he wants to test him against the very best. I've seen him train with guys, UFC guys. And I've seen videos where he beats, you know, I've seen him training with Kevin Lee, and he was beating Kevin Lee up. So he's definitely a guy that's, yeah. Without a doubt, he can be a champion. I believe in him, and so should he, and I think he does. So that's why he wants to prove himself, you know?
I know you're not all that concerned about this, but I'm curious to get this from your perspective, because you're a guy who, you know, came from a different scene, and you made your way up and got in front of a lot of American eyeballs over the years. Yeah. But, you know, when you see guys like Roberto Soldic, the fans in that area know who he is, and he's very popular over there. But and the hardcore fans here know who he is, but a lot of the casual MMA fans, the ones that just watch the UFC or just watch Bellator, they probably have no idea who this guy is. So it's just kind of interesting how MMA fans just have like such a broad view of what the sport actually entails and who is actually fighting in it, you know?
Well, you know, the promotion, you know, they can make you very big if they want to. Khamzat in 3 fights, everyone is talking about Khamzat. So I think Roberto can be the same in 2 fights or even 1 fight. You had Chandler, you know, they can make you big. It depends what the promotion, what kind of intention they have with you. And if they promote you, they can promote you very well.
Well said. Well, Gegard, like I alluded to earlier, excited we don't have to wait too deep in the year to see you back in there. And hopefully this is the first of many times we see you compete in 2022. So looking forward to it. Safe travels to Dublin, and all the best heading into this title defense on February 25th, my man.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
We got Mr. T-Rex back on the show. He returns to action this Saturday against Ferez Ziem at UFC Vegas 49. Terrence McKinney joins us fresh from the barbershop. Is that accurate? How are you, man?
Yes, sir. We're out here at Exclusive on Northwest Boulevard. You guys come get your hair cut. This is the best guy out here, man.
Well, there you go. It's looking sharp. I like the fade action going on here. I mean,
yes, sir.
Yeah, you got the hair. I lost the battle a couple of years ago. So so there you go. Enjoy those barbershop visits while you can, my man. You know what's crazy? I feel like you haven't fought in like 2 years, Terrence. Like, I know it's only been 8 months, but it feels so much longer than that for some weird reason. I know this is supposed to happen in November. Then one of your cornermen tested positive for COVID and the fight was rescheduled. Has it felt like forever for you as well? Because I feel like I haven't seen you fight in 2 years.
It has felt like 2 years. I wanted to fight in December, man. This, come on now. I'm trying to keep this ball rolling. They're slowing me down.
were you disappointed when they pushed it back like 3 months? I thought that they would put you on like a couple cards from there, but to push it all the way back to February, were you disappointed?
So I was kind of upset about it, but at least I got the same opponent. So like the camp, nothing need to really get switched. Just just make sure I'm in better shape this time. Just always looking to improve every camp. So I'm even more deadlier now, and that's going to be witnessed this Saturday.
And to find out that the scratch happened the day of the fight, it's one thing if it happens like 5 days before the fight, but it happened the day of the fight. How tough was that for you?
Oh, man, I was sad, man, because as you guys know, my old high school coach, Mike Kiesa, was on the card. So it'd have been cool to see it go full circle and compete with my boy.
Yeah, I know you didn't ultimately get to fight on the same card with him in the end, but you still got to share that week with him, you know, in that picture you posted. Oh, I lost your video.
Sorry.
You're so popular right now. Everyone's trying to call you, aren't they? They're trying to interrupt us right now. Yeah, no, but exactly. You posted that picture on your Instagram of you and like a young hair face, hairless Chiesa. It was just so crazy to look at, but just to share that week with him, that must've been really cool. I know you didn't get to fight on the same card, but still just to have that week with him and, you know, two fighters getting ready to compete on the same card. That must've been a pretty surreal moment for you.
It was an experience that I'll never forget. And I'm glad I got to be there, man.
Yeah. What was that like for him? What did he say? Did he say anything to you? Like after you posted that picture, did you get to talk to him about it at all?
Fuck, man. I just talked to him a couple of days ago. He was out there with my old high school team, Shadow Park State. Shout out to my boy, Zach Lopez, bringing home a second state title, man. So it's dope as hell.
Yeah. And for a guy that has only fought once in the UFC, you've become, at least to me, you've become pretty darn popular fighter in this division. I feel like every time you tweet about anything from good morning to an opinion about Patty Pimblett, you get so much interaction, like a lot of likes, his retweets, etc. Like it's just, is it weird to see all these notifications? Like, do you have to turn your notifications off these days?
Especially fight week, like the day of, I touch my phone. It's like annoying. Or like after the fight, it's vicious, man. It's crazy.
It's great. Did you expect this to happen so quickly?
No, not like this, but I know God has his plan and I see him moving in my life, man. Like, I love my fans, man. This has been nothing short of a miracle, man. Like I couldn't ask to be in a better position in life. I'm so honored and grateful to be here.
And now your story, which you and I have talked about in the past, and it's been out there. It's even pinned to the top of your Twitter page right now, and to have be in the UFC and have the story out there a little bit more, and more eyes are reading it, and more ears are hearing it. What has that been like? Or have you been contacted to do a lot of public speaking? Are you doing a lot more of that stuff? Cause I know that was important to you.
Yeah. I just got to speak at SFCC this year. So that was a great experience speaking to the youth and getting them ready for college and making sure they're staying sharp. Like, it's what I'm all about, just giving back, man, you know, because I wish I had someone to talk to when I was growing up. So if I can be that for the youth or the younger people out there, it's an honor. I'll say yes every time. Like, it's not just about fighting. I'm here to motivate, help as many people as I can.
How do you like this matchup with Ferris on paper? 2-fight win streak. He's going to try to kill that smile, as the nickname suggests, as people keep trying to call you right now. It is fight week. How do you feel stylistically you match up with him?
Just a second. Let me get you back on.
All good.
I think this is a perfect second fight. I'm the underdog, which I love, man. I love those vibes, man. Free money for my boys. So I'm just out here to make a statement. Like, it's on his end to win now. Like, I got nothing to lose and no pressure on my ends. It's just to have fun and that's what I'm here to do.
Are you surprised you're the underdog heading into this fight?
A little bit, but I love it, man. Thank you. No pressure on me.
I can chip on the shoulder, right?
Yeah, no chip on the shoulder. It's just I get to shock the world again and show them why God is real, man. They're going to see it after this performance, after the next one. They're going to know that there's God out there. Someone's on my side. Things are going to be unexplainable. Like, look at it, 7 seconds. No one really my size is knocking someone out in 7 seconds.
So how do we get this done on Saturday? What's the headlines going to read after you fight?
You guys know how I'm coming. First round knockout, whatever it comes, whatever it gives me. I don't care if it's submission, but I'm going to put that pressure on him, man. And I just know, like, he doesn't do good with that pressure fighting. And I know that's what I'm going to implement in my game. Really just be a mixed martial artist, mixing and takedown. I know he worked hard, but there's just levels to this, man, and you guys are going to see that.
We also got a big fight in your division in the main event of this card because Islam Makhachev was supposed to fight Beneil Dariush. What a huge fight that was going to be. Dariush gets injured. In enters Bobby King Green, the man's just on a roll right now. Very little to lose here, taking this fight on 10 days' notice, but what an opportunity he has, and he can make this division really, really interesting. So, where do you gauge Bobby Green's chances against a guy like Islam Makhachev, who's looked damn near unbeatable over the last couple of years?
I think people are sleeping on Bobby Green. He's a California State placer, pretty sure 2-time California State placer, which is pretty much like wrestling in college at that level in Cali, man. because it's just one division at stake. So this guy's legit as it comes to wrestling, and I can see this fight going either way, and fans should look for some shocking news this weekend from my end and from Bobby's. There's just a lot of lightweight fights on this card that's going to – a lot of fights in play that's going to make the division go crazy.
Yeah, I feel like literally Bobby has nothing to lose here. He's got such a tremendous opportunity. And like you said, everybody is just overlooking him. They think it's all academic that he's just going to get taken down and smushed for 25 minutes. But you think it's going to go a little bit differently.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge opportunity for him. Did I see you got to visit the Air Force last week? Is that true? Yeah. What was that like?
We were in a fighter jet. It was just cool, man, handing out the awards to those guys, man. It was an honor. These guys go out there, put their life on the line for us, man. So, like I said, it's nothing I wouldn't be willing to do ever. They call me, I'm there, sign autographs for them, whatever. They're out there fighting for us, man. Like, my mom fighting for our country. So, it's all love on every end of the spectrum.
Was it just you, or was there some other fighters with you?
Yeah, we had Dylan DeRosa there, Saeed Yabukov at the bantamweight of UFC. There's a lot of upcoming fighters too, and just looking to give back to the community and the people that's fighting for us on the back end that we don't see.
Did they show you anything? I saw your tweet.
I actually got to show them a jiu-jitsu move out there in their class, which was pretty freaking cool.
And they showed you something, right? A punch could lead to some sort of embarrassment, so to speak.
yes, a lot of exciting stuff coming soon.
I did want to ask you about, and I'm sure you knew this was coming, the Joe Rogan situation, because, and I'm sure it's probably a bit redundant to you at this point, but you have defended Joe through a lot of the things he's dealing with. You even wrote a very well put together op-ed piece for Newsweek called "I Don't Need White People Telling Me What's Supposed to Offend Me." I thought it was tremendously written. How did you, putting that article out there, happen? Like, how did this all happen? What drove you to becoming sort of a public voice in defense of Joe Rogan?
It's because I know what it's like to make mistakes, and I just think we shouldn't define people off their mistakes, but how they come back for them. It takes a real man to apologize publicly. He could have just hit out, said nothing, but he knew what he did wrong. He accepted that. He apologized. This guy is not racist, man. He's out there looking out for us. This guy came out for my fight when he wasn't even supposed to be coming out yet, which helped me blow up, man. This guy's always looking out for us, and I think we should give him that respect.
So how did this thing with Newsweek happen? Did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them? Like, how did that work?
So the post was went crazy. Then I got hit up by the Newsweekly, and they asked me to write an article on it. And I was like, what an honor. And I was all about it.
What was it like to see it, like, in publication? You got to see your name and your picture in the byline. What was that like for you?
Oh, man, dude. That's why I tell people, like, don't set your dreams to one thing. Like, the opportunities are endless, you know? Like, I always thought I was just going to be a fighter, but look, I'm writing an article for Newsweekly. Like, I've done some music videos. Like, just don't limit yourself to a fishbowl in your dream, man. Get in that ocean. Go as far as you can, man. Don't just limit your dreams, man. Go out there and just take it all, man. Be a movie/rock star, whatever you want.
What is the feedback been like from not just the fans and, you know, people in the community, but just maybe the editors on staff there? Maybe they'll have you come back and write some more stuff for them.
Yeah, it was a lot of both, like, love and hate, you know, but that's part of anything. That's just the way it goes. It's like yin and yang, man. You're going to have the haters. You're going to have the supporters. It is what it is, but I have my opinion. They have theirs, and I'll respect both.
What did you think of him not being on the broadcast for the pay-per-view? Because he was on the broadcast, and then he's off the broadcast. There's scheduling conflicts, and there's no scheduling conflicts. And then it becomes Joe's decision altogether to not be on the desk himself. What did you make of the whole situation, if you don't mind me asking?
I think that's showing that he has a lot of remorse, man. You know, like, pretty much grievance. You know, he feels bad about what he did. That's what I'm trying to tell people. Like, Joe Rogan's a good guy. Like, if he didn't feel bad, he'd been showing his face, smiling like he didn't care. But like I said, he's a respectable dude.
Do you think it was his decision in the end to just not do it?
Yeah, you know?
That makes sense. Hey, listen, if that's the case, I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And, you know, good on him. And he'll be back on the next one. I think he makes the broadcast special. And who knows, after this fight, maybe you sneak onto a pay-per-view and you and Joe get to go shoulder to shoulder again and talk about the big win. I'm sure that's one of your goals for 2022, is it not?
Yes, sir, man. And to be top 10 in UFC by the time the year ends. Let's go.
There you go. Well, Terrence, I appreciate you jumping on Fight Week. It means a lot. And really looking forward to this fight. Can't wait to see it. And all the best to you on Saturday inside that Apex, my man.
Hey, thanks, brother. Let's go, baby.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.